step in with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you this morning. We bless your name. Thank you for the beauty of the season, the beauty of the day, and for the fact that we can gather here together around your beautiful word. We thank you for all you said to your disciples on the night before you were crucified. What a treasure this study has been. I pray, Lord, that we've learned things. I pray, Lord, that it's impacted us. I pray, Lord, that your word would just come alive in our hearts. I ask you, Holy Spirit, this morning to do what only you can do. Be our resident teacher. Turn the light bulbs on. Help us to see wonderful and marvelous things out of your word together. We pray for those in our class this morning. We pray for Tony. We pray for Ruby Ann. We pray for Vicky. There's so many, Father. We ask you to use this body here to pray and to bless each other. May we love each other well, Father. I pray for our choir tonight as they plan to come and present music, and I pray for that to be a wonderful experience of worship during this season. I pray for Dr. Sean Parker as he speaks this morning to us. I ask you to use him. I ask you to bless him. I ask you to anoint him. Our Father, we just pray that you would knit our hearts together in love in this class, that we might truly be the Sunday school class who cares and who loves. Make us one. Unify us, Father. And now we pray that you would speak very personally this morning through these verses out of John 16. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to begin our lesson this morning with some thoughts out of the fourth chapter of Hebrews. I didn't put the scriptures on your handout because I'm just pulling thoughts out of that chapter. Here are some of the thoughts about Jesus that we find out and see in Hebrews chapter 4. There it says that Jesus is our great high priest. Now, a priest in the Old Testament was someone who he went to God on behalf of the nation of Israel. He was the go-between. There were the people. Here was God, and the priest stood between the people and God, and he would go into the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur one day a year and present a blood sacrifice. It was a very holy day, and that, if it was accepted, that would give the nation of Israel access to God. And they did that every year. And he was always, and then there were all the other sacrifices and feast days and things that happened. He was a person who interceded for the nation of Israel. He prayed. He went in on their behalf. Now, we find in Hebrews that Jesus has now become our great high priest. We don't have to have a go-between. He becomes each of our great high priest. And it says there that he intercedes for us. He is our advocate. He pleads our case before God's throne. It says also in Hebrews 4 that he sympathizes with us. He has sympathy for us. Let me tell you why. And it's because he took on flesh and he walked the human life. He understands what it is to be in our skin. And he has sympathy for us. It also says in Hebrews 4, he feels our weaknesses. He identifies with our infirmities. It says there he's a merciful and a sympathetic high priest. His ministry is a ministry to bring comfort. Comfort. You need comfort this morning. Now, we know Rachel doesn't, but the rest of us do. We need comfort. He carries our cares. He fills our burdens. He's the one who brings us peace. And this morning we're going to be seeing this. He's the one who brings us joy. That is who Jesus is. Now listen to me. That is who the Spirit of Jesus is. And we've been studying the Holy Spirit these last 15 weeks. Well, not 15 weeks, but in chapter 16, we've been focusing on the Holy Spirit. He's God in us. He is called the Comforter. You have within you, if you are born again, the very one whose name is the Comforter. Now that's good news this morning. Because we all have disappointments. We all experience distress, disturbance. Things happen that are completely unlike what we had hoped for in life. Has life taken some crazy turns in your story, in your journey? We live with challenges on this side of heaven. We're always looking for some light at the end of the tunnel. And the truth is this, we can actually endure almost anything if we can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Because that gives me hope. And I can endure anything if I have hope. But if I can't see a good end, then life can become very bleak, and I can lose hope. And then when I do, I lose my joy. I'm so glad you're here today. Because in our lesson, we're going to start out by seeing that Jesus, they're filled with sorrow. They're absolutely controlled by sorrow. And he wants to give them hope. And he wants to even give them joy in the midst of what is coming. But before we jump in to our lesson, I want us to talk around our small tables just a little bit. And look on your handout. Here's what I want you to talk about at your table. We've been studying now the role of the Holy Spirit. So here's my question. What have you learned in our lessons? Now, if you're new and you've not been in our lessons, just listen. What have you learned about the Holy Spirit? What have you learned that has impacted your life? And how has it changed the way you think and the way you act? Are you different because what you are learning? Because that's the goal of studying God's Word, is to let it get in us. It's to let us change us, help us think biblically, help us act like in a Christian way. Live it out. So take a few minutes this morning. Let's start by talking around our tables. So go right now. Start. Some spokesmen share what you said at your table. I'll start with Babs' today. She doesn't mind. You're welcome. Yes. Yes. Right. Right. Yes. Exactly. Good. That's good. All right. Another spokesman. Come on. Don't get shy. Sandra, what's your one?
You're special to her.
I want to hear you. Right. You tell us.
Okay. So you know that one week where we talked about how God said something similar to, because the world hates me, they're going to hate you?
Yes.
I have a friend that is in Utah who is going through a similar stage in life. And her old church, everyone is against her. Her new church, everyone's turning against her as well. And so when I heard that, I knew I needed to, it was like
share that with her.
Mm-hmm. That clicked. I needed her to hear that. So I told her about that. And I told her, and she's like, how do you get so wise?
That's how God works.
Miss Teresa.
No, the Lord, the Word, that is very good. All right, anybody else want to share?
You know, I learned that the Holy Spirit can talk to you.
Yes, he can. Yes, he talks to us.
Tony was in the hospital.
Yes, you felt comfort, right? Very good. Somewhere else. All right, Aaron.
Well, at our table, we all talked about the fact that we learned that, the Holy Spirit convicts in three ways.
Right. Good. Yes.
Judgment, righteousness, and sin.
Yes. Very good.
Yeah.
That's right. All right. Let's have a little review before we jump in. Now think with me. Jesus, we're the night before Jesus is crucified. He is going to die. He's been telling them this. They did not want to hear it. And as we come to our four verses today, we find them filled with sorrow, as I mentioned earlier. As he's telling them what is coming, they just couldn't process it. And because they couldn't, they're just engulfed in sorrow. And in verses 16 through 22, which is our verses for today, Jesus is wanting to turn that overwhelming sorrow into joy. And he so lovingly is going to sympathize with them, and he's going to take them on the road to comfort. That's what our lesson is today. Now, here's the truth of the matter. In just a few short days, this is Friday. It may actually be early in the morning on Saturday. It could have been well after midnight. But just in a few short matter of days, their sorrow is going to completely vanish. They're going to explode in joy. And so let's go to verse 16 and let's start there. Here's what Jesus tells them. Now we're on the road to comfort, okay? He says this, a little while and you will no longer see me. And again a little while and you will see me. So write this down. The road to comfort is going to begin with a prediction. A prediction. And so we have to say to ourselves, what is he talking about here? Well, it's going to lead to the disciples being perplexed. So write that down next. The road to comfort included the disciples being perplexed. Now, a key to understanding this comes at the end of verse 17. Let's read verse 17 together. Some of his disciples then said to one another, what is this thing he is telling us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I go to the Father. Now that phrase, because I go to the Father, is going to be a key to understanding when they're going to see him again. So keep that in mind. What is this little while? Now just think, what do you think he's meaning? Is he talking about the resurrection? Is he talking about the second coming? What is he talking about? Well, let's refer back to a verse out of chapter 14, same night, verse 18. Let's see what Jesus said in that portion of the night. He said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. So who came, now reason with me, who came after Jesus ascended to the Father? Who came in his place? The Holy Spirit. So how did Jesus come back to them? He says, because I go to the Father. He's been telling them, I'm going to send, it's to your advantage that I go, because if I go, I will send the Holy Spirit. And so what is he talking about here? When are they going to see him again? And it's going to be when the Holy Spirit comes. Now, what I'm wanting to you to write down, so write this down. He came in the form of the Holy Spirit, in the person of the Holy Spirit. And when did the Holy Spirit come? You tell me. On the day of Pentecost. That was 40 days after 40 days after the resurrection. The church was born on that day. Now, each of us experience the presence of Jesus. He's come to us. How did he come to me? How do I see him? I see him in the person of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. We just say that like, oh, ho, hum, Jesus is in me. I'm telling you, ladies, Jesus is in you if you're born again. Let that settle in your heart. Let that amaze you. He comes to live individually in each of us. That is what salvation is. You are placed in Christ. We are in him and he is in us. It's so wonderful. We are not orphans. He has come to us. He is telling them, yes, it's true. I'm going away, but I'm coming back. I will be with you. I will stay with you. I will speak to you. I will lead you, comfort you, guide you, help you. I will be in you in the form of the Holy Spirit. Do you realize what kind of a resource is in you? Jesus is telling them, you're going to see me in a way you've not seen me before when the Holy Spirit comes. And that is the very purpose of the Holy Spirit, to make Christ present and resident in the life of every believer. Now, they did not get it. They were perplexed. They were confused. They began talking to each other. What is Jesus talking about? Do you get this little wild stuff? So look at verse 19. Jesus knew they wished to question him, and so he said to them, are you deliberating together about this, that I said a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? They were just wondering, what in the world is he talking about? Is he going to die or is he not? So Jesus moves to comfort them. Look at verse 20. And we'll write this down first. Comfort is going to come in the form of a promise. In the form of a promise. We're going to see this. Look at verse 20. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, that you will weep and lament, and the world will rejoice, and you will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. Now, this is good news. Listen up, guys, Jesus is saying. There's going to be a glorious ending to this whole thing, even though right now you're filled with sorrow and grief. Now, did you notice those words, truly, truly? Those are like saying, this is true, this is true. Amen, amen. Listen, guys, this is something serious that I'm telling you. You are going to cry and weep and grieve. And when you do, the world's going to be rejoicing when I'm on that cross. Jesus knows the disciples are going to be shattered. He knows they're going to be heartbroken. He knows they're going to be devastated. But look at the end of verse 20. Your joy, your sorrow will be turned into joy. Now here's what I want to say. The very thing that brought grief, his death on the cross, will, after the resurrection, be the very thing that is their source of joy. Just search all the great hymns of the church. You won't find Christians singing of a blind, hopeless, dead in grief. No, we sing hymns of joy that take us back to the cross. And that is because the greatest grief of the disciples became the source of their greatest joy. In fact, the cross is the very centerpiece of Christian joy. I'm sorry. Got a tickle. Don't you just hate it when you're trying to talk and have a tickle? So Jesus is telling them, you are going to go through just a little while, a little brief time of sorrow and pain, but you're going to come out on the other side with great joy. That's the light at the end of the tunnel that he's trying to give them. And they're perplexed and they don't understand it. And they say, how on earth is this going to work? And so he's going to lead them on the road to comfort with an analogy. So write that on your handout. He's going to illustrate it with an analogy. It's an analogy that we get as women. Look at verse 21. Whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has been born into the world. You know, childbirth is very painful. I do love the epidurals. They're wonderful. But I had my first baby. I was going to have an epidural. I was so excited. And that was in 1976. And, you know, so many women were having this natural childbirth thing. I never wanted to go there. I was like, that is not for me. And the epidurals were pretty brand new. But my doctor was given epidurals. He had learned how to do it. And I was so excited. So he said, you're not going to feel much pain. You're going to do great. I got into the hospital, and I was induced. So I immediately started having pretty strong contractions. Well, the epidural did not work as life would have it. I went through 12 hours I was saying, just cut my head off. Just get me out of this. Do any of you know the feeling? Oh, there was sorrow, there was pain, there was anguish. But oh, when it was all over. And back then we didn't know what we were having. And so what exactly happened is right as I was having the baby, they knocked me out. I went through all of that. And then right as I'm having the baby, they knocked me out. And it was like 1 a.m. And so everybody left the hospital. I didn't even see Bill after Sunday was born. And I was in the middle of the night and I was coming out of that anesthesia. And I heard this nurse say, Miss Soames, you have a baby girl. And she put her in my arms. It makes me cry. All the joy. All the joy. I was so excited. And I couldn't even call Bill. That's before cell phones. And I was like, I need to see my husband. This is our daughter. You know, I was so excited. Well, the next morning, he got up. He went to this little tiny florist shop in the town where we lived. He bought everything in the store and brought it to the hospital. My room was a florist. And I mean, the potted plants, the flowers, everything. He was so cute. We were so excited. When you have that first baby, it really is like you're the only one who's ever had a baby. You feel that way. I remember I took her to my first doctor's appointment with me because I just knew he was going to want to see her. I mean, she was the most beautiful baby that had ever been. I just, without a doubt, I thought, now you got to go with me because he's going to want to see this baby. And I remember she stayed with Sunday in the waiting room. Then when I went back and I said, I brought my baby. Would you like to see? And he said, what did you have? And I thought, you don't know what I had? I just remember being just shocked. He didn't remember. So Jesus is telling them why it's going to be like having a baby. The very event that causes you the deepest pain and sorrow and grief and anguish is going to be the event that's going to bring you the greatest joy. And that is because out of the event of the cross is going to come the salvation of the world. That's the illustration. Look at verse 22. Therefore, you too have grief now, but I will see you again. And your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Jesus is saying, I'm coming back. You're going to see me again. You're going to experience me again. It's even going to be better because I'm not going to be with you. I'm going to be in you. I will be there. I will be in charge of your life. I will be watching over you. I'm taking residence up in your heart. I'll cause you to rejoice. I'll fill you with joy. Did you know joy is the characteristic of the Christian life? That is the main characteristic, the key characteristic. It's a joy that is permanent. It is a joy that no one can take away. Now, obviously, I don't rejoice in everything that goes on all around me, and neither do you. I can't rejoice in everything that's happened in my life, but I can rejoice in my salvation that will never be taken away. And I can experience that every day. He's in me. If you will just get that in your heart, you're in me. You will never leave me. You will never forsake me. And let me say this about joy. Joy has nothing little to do with your physical circumstances, your happenings. That is the word happiness. Happiness has to do with happenings. And you know what? Life is up and down when you're on the roller coaster of circumstances, right? You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Wabil got up to go to Jackson for a meeting Wednesday, hit a deer. He hit a deer. It just completely creamed his car. He was fine. That deer can't. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what your happenings are going to be. But joy is different. Joy is something that is permanent. It's something that is a spiritual thing. It has to do with your spiritual circumstances that are unchanging and eternal. And so comes this promise from Jesus to his sorrowing disciples. I'm coming and your grief will be turned to joy, just like a baby, just like a woman who's full of joy by the birth of her baby. Now let's cover these last two verses quickly. Verse 23, in that day you will not question me about anything. Now stop right there and let's write this down. The road to comfort will ultimately culminate in a certain day, in that day. We've got to say, what day is he talking about here? Well, let me tell you what day it is. Write it down. It's the day the Spirit comes. In that day, you will not question me. That is the day that I will see you again. That is the day your heart will rejoice. That is when no one will take your joy away. For them, it was the day of Pentecost. So put that on your handout. For us, it is the day of our salvation. That is what happens at salvation. Christ moves in. It's not about me joining a church. It's not about me getting baptized. It's not about me praying a little prayer. It's about me bowing my knee before God. And I'm saying, Master, yes, Lord. And he comes in and does the work. And so write it this way, when the Spirit of Christ comes to live in us. Verse 23, in that day you will not question me about anything. And the last thing I want you to put on your handout is this. The road to comfort closes with a stunning promise. In that day, look at it, verse 23, truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Now, that is just a completely stunning promise that he's giving his disciples. He's telling them they're going to be able in that day, in the day of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, in that day, you just go directly to God. You go in my name. Now, what does he mean, in my name? Look at verse 24. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. And that is because, you know, Jesus was with them. They didn't have to go pray. They had Jesus with them. They just asked him. Jesus, I need this. Jesus, what about that? He was there, God with them. And that's the way it had always been. So Jesus says to them, back in verse 24, just ask and you will receive. That is in the present tense. Keep on asking. Keep on asking. Keep on asking. Keep on receiving. Keep on receiving when you come in my name. And why are they to do it? Notice in verse 24 at the end, so that your joy may be made full. He's telling them he desires their lives, he desires our lives to be unending expressions of unending joy. What does it mean to ask in my name? Write it down. It means asking consistently with who Jesus is, asking consistently with what his will is. It's just going to God the Father and asking on behalf of Jesus, because you know that is what would honor and glorify him. He's bringing them comfort. He wants their sorrow to turn to joy. Now, I'm not quite done. Let's sum up what we've seen. The separation time for the disciples was going to be very brief, a little while. He says, I'm coming back. I won't leave you. You'll see me again. I'm coming back when the Holy Spirit comes to the earth, and the very event that brought you all the sorrow, you're going to look back on that event and you're going to realize that's the very point of your salvation. And the resurrection is going to seal your redemption, and your sorrow is going to be turned to joy. And joy is going to dominate your life. Just hours from this very conversation, Jesus is going to be on the cross. He's not concerned about himself. Isn't that amazing? He knows what's coming. He's only concerned that his disciples are filled with sorrow. He's wanting to give them hope. That is what's on his mind. I just love this passage. I think it's so very encouraging. I wonder, did you need encouragement today? I know I did. Just let this sink in. Jesus is in you and desires to fill you with joy. It's so amazing to have Jesus in us. And not only that, we have his word, which is also a gift from the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. Jesus has opened the door to the throne room of mercy, the very throne of God. He's invited you, he's invited me to come boldly into that room in the name of Jesus. He's given us access. No priest stands between us, no religious dignitary. There's no ritual that we have to go through. We only need to come and ask. No matter what this life looks like for you, no matter what your circumstances are, his joy is available. Because joy doesn't depend on happenings. Joy depends upon who's in you. Now, I'm praying that God would increase our joy. Amen? You know, joy comes when I understand what God's word says is true about me. And when I start learning, that's why I wanted us to talk about, what have you learned about the Holy Spirit? I hope the first thing you said was, he's in me. He's in me. He convicted me of my sin. He showed me I was righteous in Christ. And then I see the whole world stands judged before him. It causes my heart to break for the world. I want to give my life to share his gospel. I just would pray that the world would look at our lives and they would be amazed as we live out our lives at the joy that we have. Because everybody's looking for hope, right? I'm praying that our lives will shine and be filled with joy. Now, I have one more lesson. I tried to combine them. I couldn't do it. I have one more lesson in chapter 16. Can I just tell you, I think next week's lesson, if I teach it next week or if I teach it after Christmas, I think it's one of the most powerful lessons that we've had in this whole series, and I don't want you to miss it. So I'm just putting that little bug in your ear. Are you filled with joy? Think about who's in you. You know what? You can go boldly into God's throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and help in your needy day. Isn't that exciting? You can do it because who's in you? The Spirit of God. And there is your high priest there. He's interceding for you too. These are good truths. Let them get in your heart. Let them fill you with joy. Let's close with a word of prayer.
Please, before you pray, the newspaper will be passed around the sign up. It's
the 21st,
next Sunday.
Yes, 21st, next Sunday. Gotcha. Let's pray. Our Father, we bless your name this morning. Forgive us for not understanding our resource. I pray that your word has opened our eyes to see who is in us. You were gone for a little while, but you came back. You filled your disciples and you fill us. We have everything we need right in the person of the Holy Spirit. Yes, life is hard. Happenings come. Circumstances happen. But nothing changes the abiding presence of God in us. You're in us. And then you give us this stunning promise that we can come in your name and ask anything and receive when we come. And Father, that should fill our hearts with joy. Make us women who are aware and who know their Bibles and know who's in them and understand it and who are filled with joy. And Father, we pray now that you would continue speaking through the service that lies ahead. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. See you next week.